Hello, sweet ladies, sweet gentlemen, folks of all sorts, gather around for a fup date. I am coming to you. Jamie is coming to you. We're all coming to you.
Live, but not live.
This is live, but not live, with big Spooktober energy. Absolutely. That is Jamie Ryan in Los Angeles getting ready to blow your socks off.
Okay. And that is Austin Williams in Chicago, who doesn't quite know everything that's about to happen.
Oh, that's right. And I said, can you say blow your socks off instead of knock your socks off? Is that energetically correct?
Yeah, I think. I would never have noticed.
A ghost might blow your socks this week. Okay.
Yeah.
This month, perhaps.
Oh, suck your socks
sucking
off.
Sucking on them toes.
That's called shrimping. Toes. Did you know that? Have you ever heard of that?
Never heard the term.
Maddie has a former coworker who, like, whenever she posts a picture of me and her, like, if Maddie posts a picture of her and I, the old coworker will just post a shrimp emoji, just, like, implying that we should suck each other's toes. It's kind of fun and super weird.
Wow. Some might call that harassment. Okay.
I haven't thought of it that way, but it could be. That's true. Anyway, I'm not here to talk about shrimping.
We're not here to talk about shrimping or the ghosts that is sucking on your toes in a shrimping fashion this month. Or are we? What are we talking about? Because I think for those of you who came to space camp with us, we might be getting to fan the flames a little bit more of our rocket launchers, so to speak.
Absolutely. So this month, we thought it might be important for you to know just like how to conceive a magical child, if that's something you're interested in, and a little background on what you'd be getting into. So
I think conceiving magical children is the most powerful and special in October. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say it. I don't know if that's substantiated, but it's my opinion.
This is the time, I think, especially like during the Scorpio season portion of the month, when things are really like sexually charged and like dark and secretive, feels like the time you could really make this happen. Anyway, if you were with us during space camp, as Austin mentioned, you'll remember perhaps a certain set of sex magic rituals that we briefly alluded to that were performed by Scientology's L. Ron Hubbard and rocket scientist Jack Parsons with the intention of bringing a magical child. They called it a moon child. Sometimes they called it an antichrist into the world. And
you can't know.
It didn't pan out for them because the mother of this potential child took care of it before it, got any bigger. And but they did write and perform a series of rituals and get a woman pregnant. And so,
Wow.
We could tell you about that if you're interested in that piece. I guess if you're not interested, turn this off, but please don't turn this off. Anyway, so before we get to any kind of instructions, Austin's going to give us a little antichrist backdrop.
Listen, I've waited to say this my whole life, but tonight, this morning, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whenever you're listening, I am here to talk to you about the antichrist.
I love
dun,
it.
Dun, dun, dun. Like, insert, like, eerie music. Okay. The antichrist, or antichrist, however you want to say it, refers to people prophesied by the Bible to oppose Christ and substitute themselves in Christ's place before the second coming. Wow.
Sort of a character foil.
An imposter, if you might, okay? A usurper. The term antichrist, including one plural form, is found 5 times in the New Testament. Mm. It's found solely in the first and second books of John.
So Gospels, not just Revelation.
Yeah, not just Revelation. Actually, John is the one coming for you with the Antichrist, okay? So the Antichrist is announced as the one who, and I quote, denies the Father and the Son.
It's just like really dramatic.
I mean, it's so dramatic. There's also a similar term, the pseudo-Christos, like in a Greek way, which is also known as like false Christ.
Yeah.
That's found in the Gospels. In Matthew and in Mark, if we're digging in on our biblical references,
which we usually
Jesus
do.
Also alerts his disciples not to be deceived by false prophets who will claim themselves as being Christ, performing great signs and wonders, really, really scorning magicians, I think, in these sections absolutely of the book. But go off.
This led to sorry a lot that of
Jesus hated so much sleight of hand, but, you know, somebody's got but to, then I guess.
Did quite a bit of sleight of hand going.
Did a ton of sleight of hand magic, okay? And then got mad at other people who were talented. Okay, people are out here knocking magicians, and I just want to declare once again how much I love magic with a C, sleight of hand. I'm also here for some magic with a K, but look, I'm very into a magic show. Call me. Anyway.
We differ on that, but don't let me derail you. Go on.
Okay. There are three images that are often associated with the singular Antichrist, and they are the little horn, which is in kind of Daniel's final version, the quote, man of sin in Paul, the apostle's second Ephesian to the Thessalonians, and as Jamie referenced the book of Revelations, the beast of the sea.
And that is the one I'm the most familiar with, of course.
Oh, good.
But the others sort of legitimize it because Revelation's a little topsy-turvy.
There are differing Christian views. Plenty of popes have spoken out about, like, Antichrist stuff. We've also got some stuff in Eastern Orthodoxy where folks are saying that the Antichrist is the person that will be the head of the World Wide Web, controlling all of humanity. Oh. That means that the structure itself possesses a danger. This was thrown out in 2018 on Russian state television by Patriarch Kirill of Moscow. And they're like really shaming the internet. So watch out, Al Gore. Okay.
Yeah, wait. That means that Al Gore is the Antichrist.
Al Gore could be the Antichrist. But listen, algorithm. It's not just limited to some major sects of Catholicism. And
the evangelicals really take it to another degree.
Oh, we'll get to it. Listen, but we've also got the Seventh-day Adventists.
Boy, those ones are
Teach that the little horn power, which, as predicted in the book of Daniel, rose after the breakup of the Roman Empire, is the papacy. And whoa, they're like, yeah, shit gets wild. So we've got all sorts of folks pointing fingers at other, like, sects of Christianity, talking about especially men the of lawlessness.
Wow.
They're going for it.
That is bold.
We've got people being accused of being in leagues with other figures, okay? There's several American evangelical and fundamentalist theologians. They have identified the Antichrist as being in league with or the same as several figures in the book of Revelation, including the dragon or serpent, the beast, the false prophet, and the whore of Babylon. Come on. Also, we've got people that are like, the Antichrist is Satan, just straight up in a very orthodox kind of Christian way that God became incarnate Jesus. Exactly. So the Antichrist is incarnated Satan.
Yep. In the flesh.
Totally. And plenty of non-Christian views on this as well. So in Judaism, there are warnings against false prophets in the Hebrew Bible, but it's not like a personal anti kind of messiah figure. It's not like an antichrist. But that's
more of a watch out for cults.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. We've also got stuff in Islam about this, about deceivers and, like in Christianity, this kind of deceiver is said to emerge out of the East. The specific location varies among the sources. Okay. Mm. So it's also said that, you know, this figure will imitate the miracles performed by Isa, so Jesus stuff. Okay. Such as healing the sick, raising the dead, and they're doing it with the help of demons. So great.
Doing good things with dark powers.
Yeah, even like folks in the Baha'i have stuff that the Antichrist is considered like a subvert of the, you know, religion of God. So all sorts of things. And also something that definitely has been a part of pop culture I definitely in kind of the like satanic horror kind of plots, tons of conspiracy theories, specifically with like satanic plots to destroy the Christian faith. You know how people are afraid of Satanists. We've talked about it again. I love them. I'm here for some of the Satanists. Okay. Some of, not all, but some. That said, that's kind of a brief summary, a little Antichrist stuff. Just want to point out that it exists in a bunch of cultures, both Christian and non-Christian, and that, yeah, it's been around a long time, and a lot of people got a lot of feels about how this is doom and gloom and just, like, evil incarnate. So with that hopeful greater understanding of just what is an Antichrist, and no, you don't have to subscribe to a Christian faith specifically to have references to this.
All you have to do is read the Left Behind series. In your faith.
All you have to do. I mean, tons of things series. Like that.
It's truly like terrifying. So metal, actually.
It's actually an incredibly metal series for children. Yeah. Go off. Okay.
But anyway, yes, thank you for some Antichrist backdrop, if
just
you will.
Some Antichrist background, yeah.
Absolutely.
I hope I've brought you guys all closer to the Antichrist. That's my goal.
And we are here. So Aleister Crowley, who was a British
occultist.
Welcome
back to Space Camp, cadets.
Yeah, you'll remember him from Space Camp. He wrote a book called The Moon Child, which really kind of was the spark that ignited Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard wanting to birth the Antichrist. So this is sort of
which
like,
accidentally got aborted, as Jamie said, whoops.
Yeah, because Marjorie had an abortion and didn't consult Jack about it. So maybe you should have told her what was going on, but we'll get into that.
Maybe if you're trying to inseminate someone with the Antichrist, you should share what you're doing sexually with that person. Just saying.
Yeah.
Seems like good communication. That was lacking.
It was lacking, and we'll get to it. But brief plot summary of The Moon Child, the deal, the book that inspired the ritual that Aleister Crowley wrote. So the plot summary is that a year or so before the beginning of World War I, a young woman named Lisa is seduced by a white magician. And the plot involves a magical war between a group of white magicians and a group of black magicians over an unborn child. And
I'm listening.
There are a series of rituals that each of these white and black lodges perform to try to create a moon child. And I won't tell you how it ends, no spoilers. But Parsons read this book, took a lot of the rituals that were in it and adapted them for his own life because he decided that he wanted to do what the magicians in this book had done, which was summon via magic rituals an elemental lover, a whore of Babylon, if you will, Babylon incarnate, a woman who would be willing to birth a moon child, the most magical, perhaps evil being into the world. And so he began these rituals. But brief side note about the Moon Child novel. If you are a Twin Peaks fan, there is a very strong fan theory that the show is just an adaptation of the novel. And I haven't read the novel, but like after reading about it, I could definitely see how the show is an adaptation.
Mm.
So Jack Parsons was a follower of Aleister Crowley, and Jack wrote a series of rituals that he called Babylon Working, and that's what we're here to talk about tonight, that he based loosely on the contents of the novel. And when at one point, kind of like mid all of these rituals, Jack wrote a letter to Aleister Crowley, kind of like excitedly telling him like, hey, L. Ron Hubbard and I, like we're doing this and it's working. And Crowley wrote back to them and said, you have me completely puzzled by your remarks. I cannot form the slightest idea of what you can possibly mean. And then the very same day, he sent a letter to the head of his American chapter because he's across the pond. And he says,
right, of course.
Apparently Parsons and Hubbard or somebody is producing a moon child. I get fairly frantic when I contemplate the idiocy of these louts. So the man.
The idiocy of these louts, okay?
So the guy that's, like, in charge of their magic religion is like, hey, you guys are fucking sure? idiots. Like, why are you doing this right now? So just for a little context, that even within the magical world, these guys are, like, pretty fucking nuts.
Wow.
So on that note, here are the rituals. And I will say this is for fun only, and you are warned. And briefly, I'll just say that when Austin and I dabbled in a little bit of ritual magic, we did get scared. And so keep that in mind.
I actually called it off because I was like, what if this works because one of us dies? And in the context of what we were doing, Jamie said, that's actually a really good point. So just we'll leave you with that.
It felt like there was a hole in our spell where, like, one of us could have died and it would have come true. Anyway, yeah,
it would have happened through death. And we had to pull the plug on that. Okay.
Yeah. And, like, you know, a couple weeks before, I had done my first blood magic ritual, and, like,
yeah, she had burnt that menstrual blood and created pure chaos. So
I did.
Remember.
I got my wish. Like, I made a ton of money, but, like, a lot of people had a really bad night. Anyway,
and you cried in the walk-in. Okay?
I did. It was hard. So back to Babylon working. So I'm gonna walk this out for you and say that this could be perhaps like a fun sexual experience if you want to play it like that. You know, it's Halloween times. You're getting a little weird. Here we go. So this ritual,
here we go.
This ritual has two main acts. The first half is to summon the elemental woman, the woman who is going to birth this child. And then the second act is conceiving the moon child once you've got that woman. And this ritual,
once you've got her, I'm not loving the syntax, but go ahead.
This ritual, as it was done and as it was written, involves a man, a woman, and one other person. But I'm sure that you can regender all of these things to fit your needs.
No, I think that's correct.
So first, a list of materials needed. Two long black hooded robes and one white hooded robe. You'll need a dagger, a wand, a cup or chalice, many candles, talismans, which are good luck charms or magical objects that are inscribed with runes.
Into it.
You'll need a small lamp or a lantern that is not electric. It cannot be... It can't plug in. You'll need to be able to walk around with it. You'll need a white sheet. You're going to need some
white sheet,
some menstrual blood. And you're going to need vinyl copies or streaming access to, I don't know if I can pronounce these correctly, but Prokofiev Violin Concerto. I tried. And Rachmaninoff's Isle of the Dead. And
okay.
One optional item is going to be a magic sword.
Whatever that means for you, be your magic sword.
Those are your needed materials. So we're going to do this in the days leading up to a full moon. And so it's going to be 9 days before the moon. Or I guess if you start late, because it doesn't seem like they counted it out in any kind of specific way, but they did it for 9 days leading up to the full moon, and we do some nightly rituals. And so what we're going to do for these 9 days is we're going to put on that violin concerto. Maybe I'll put it on right now. There it is. Both magicians, both the intended father of the moon child and the other magician who will be acting as the high priest for all of this, should don long black hooded cloaks.
And in long black hooded cloaks, you guys. This may be your only chance.
And now you'll create a circle or a pentagram around the space where the ritual will take place and place candles around the outside of that. You're going to light your candles. You're going to begin to wave the talismans and lit herbs or incense if desired. And this is both the intended father and the high priest as well. You're doing this together. And at this time, you're going to begin chanting to call for an elemental woman. And you can write your own chant for this. I would say rhyming is good, but not necessary. And
rhyming's great. You know, dry is good, but wind is better. But there aren't requirements, you know?
They are not. Sunny came home. And You'll need to be sure, as we mentioned, things can go wrong in magic rituals. It's sort of a monkey's paw situation where, like, maybe you get what you want, but, like, all these horrible things happen to, like, get your wish to come true. So when you're writing your chants, your spells, it's going to be important to include that the woman is a consenting member of the process and is ready and excited to birth a moon child. And I will say for L. Ron Hubbard and Jack, at this point, they said, an elemental mate, a girl willing to go through sexual rites to incarnate Babylon.
Sexual rites!
To incarnate
Babylon.
Babylon in the spirit world. So you'll continue to chant, and I'll say at this point, it is all right if you reduce it to rhythmic, syllable-esque grunting, if necessary. Mm. And that is what Jack and Ron are doing at this point, because it is at this phase in the evening that we get to the invocation of wand and consecration of dagger. So those tools that you've brought, both magicians are going to continue to chant, and you'll begin to masturbate, both of you, within the circle. And sexual fluid will be used to consecrate the dagger.
Sexual fluids.
And sexual fluids will be used to activate the wand, although the wand might be Jack's penis or L. Ron Hubbard's penis. It's really unclear in Jack's diaries if there's a physical
the
wand.
The penis is a wand.
Or if it's just penises. So that's up to
the
you.
The penises are wands. Some of them are swords. You decide.
Some of them. Yeah. And from Jack's journals, we learn that during these nightly rituals, L. Ron Hubbard and Jack Parsons reported wind storms and a power outage, but nothing major until the ninth night. And on the ninth night, L. Ron Hubbard was struck on the right shoulder and had a candle.
Struck!
Had a candle knocked out of his hand. And he says, he called out to Parsons, and they observed a brownish yellow light about 7 feet high, and Parsons brandished a magical sword, and the light
brandished a sword that could be a cock. Okay.
Yes. Many of these things could be the penis, and we're unsure how much of it is a sort of a sexual allegory. But at this point, Ron's arm is paralyzed for the rest of the night. And so maybe they're like masturbating furiously and he got a Charlie horse, but it was...
That happens sometimes.
They tell us that the following night was even crazier, and Hubbard apparently saw a vision of one of Parsons' enemies. So now there's like apparitions happening. So be aware, guys, when you get to night number 9 of like all this mutual masturbation, that like maybe some like people's enemies
eat
will start
a banana. The banana could also be a cock.
And they're all wands. It's all your wands that you gather.
Everything is a wand. Everything is magical. Some of them have more potassium than others.
Some penises do have more potassium than others. And so...
We don't know the chemical compounds inside your cum.
We don't. But Parsons wrote that he attacked the figure and pinned it to the door with 4 throwing knives, which L. Ron was an expert at. So L. Ron throws a couple of daggers. That's an optional item for you. I don't know that you'll encounter a spirit that you need to throw daggers at, but know that there could be apparitions at this time, I suppose.
It's possible.
It is possible. So for the last 4 days, Parsons and Hubbard describe it as a state of constant tension. Then, for them, it was January 8th, but on the last day of their rituals, Parsons turned to Ron and said, "It is done." And he added that he returned home and found a young woman answering the requirements waiting for him. So he journaled that, you know, they said, it's done, finally, we're good. L. Ron got his shoulder paralyzed. We masturbated for 9 days. And I went back to my Pasadena mansion and fucking Marjorie was there with her red hair and her blue eyes and supple tits, just like we asked for.
Regardless of what you think, if someone masturbates for 9 days straight, uncontrollably, in order to create anything, you should be kind of impressed.
Yeah, it's like also a lot of dedication. So now they've got her, or you've summoned your elemental woman, however you had described calling out to her. We move on to the second chapter, which is conceiving the moon child, aka the birth ceremonies. So once you have your elemental woman, willing and fertile, supple and fair, in this case, red of mouth and swollen of breast. These diaries are really out of control. What we're going to do is once again, we're going to put on some music. This time it's going to be Rachmaninoff's Isle of the Dead, which I told you to have ready, and I will insert here. Then the high priest, whoever is not going to impregnate the woman, will put on a white robe this time. And
that guy's just watching.
He sort of is just watching. We'll see. He's mostly watching. And then the man, whoever is in the Jack Parsons role, will put on a black cloak, and the woman will be nude. And once again, we're going to create...
Something about this seems unbalanced. Okay.
Once again, we're going to create a circle or a pentagram around the space where the ritual will take place. We're going to put candles all along that edge, and we're going to light them. And then the high priest, in this case, L. Ron Hubbard, should begin chanting to begin the ritual. And this is what L. Ron Hubbard chanted. The year of Babylon is 4063. She is the flame of life, power of darkness. She destroys a glance. She may take thy soul. She feeds upon the death of man. Beautiful, horrible, beautiful, horrible, beautiful, horrible. You will make your own chant that works for you.
You'll yell, beautiful, horrible.
Yeah, you'll yell it.
Okay. If that feels right, you do you.
Yeah. And the spells and chants, they are for a preparation of the loins, the mind, and the spirit. And these kinds of spells are going to take place for 2 nights.
Prep your loins.
And
prep
so
your loins.
There's not any sex happening yet. So in this
just
is going to be
loin preparation.
2 days, yeah, of build up and no masturbating in between. You got to have like
perhaps
all
preparation
of your
H.
I don't know what you've pegged and needed preparation H for later.
We can't know about your preparation H needs.
So in this portion of the ritual, L. Ron Hubbard's chanting over Jack to prepare him for this coitus that will take place later. He says, display thyself to Our Lady, dedicate thy organs to her, display thy mind to her, dedicate thy soul to her, for she shall absorb thee. Retire from human contact until noon tomorrow, and speak not of this ritual. Discuss nothing of it. Consult no book but thine own mind. Thou art a god. Behave at this altar as one god before another. So it's really just a pep talk. Like, it's you're just gonna, if you're in the high priest role, you're gonna need to just pep up whoever's gonna be, you know, jizzing out the moon child, if you will.
I mean, someone's got to jizz out the moon child / Antichrist. Come on.
Someone has to. So then we move into, this is another phase where masturbation is introduced. And we're going to continue these rituals for 3 nights. And you're not going to tell anyone about this. And as L. Ron mentioned, you're going to just be alone after the ritual until noon the next day. Every time. And so there's going to be more chanting. You'll write your own spells. You will chant about preparing your loins if, you know, for fertility, virility.
Prepare your loins.
Absolutely. For 3 nights. And at this point, masturbation and wishing upon an orgasm begins to happen. All while.
When you wish upon a chasm.
It all while chanting the incantations.
About your loin preparation.
And it's truly just like blowing out birthday candles and making a wish. It's like, you know, just have your intention in mind. You're chanting. And then you think about, you know, getting that woman pregnant with the moon child really a lot the moment that you ejaculate. And you've been doing that for a few nights with someone who's a stand-in for L. Ron Hubbard. And then on the last night, We're going to, this is night number 3. The first 2 nights have been all loin preparation, followed by masturbating at the end of the ceremonies and with wishing upon the orgasm.
As you do. Once you wish upon an orgasm, you know.
Now on the 3rd night, the insemination is going to take place. And we will bring the elemental woman at this time, or whoever's in that role. And
wow.
4 hours before dawn, you should lay out a white sheet. And here's some of L. Ron Hubbard's instructions. Lay out a white sheet. Place upon it blood of birth. So that's that menstrual blood that you had on hand at the beginning. You're going to spread it out on the sheet. Envision her approaching thee. Think upon lewd, lascivious things thou couldst do. All is good to Babylon. All. Preserve the material basis. The lust is hers. The passion is yours. Consider thou the beast. So you're putting down this white sheet to have sex on, but first you're going to like spread some menstrual blood, preferably of the person who's going to, you're about to impregnate. Spread it on the sheet. Yeah. You know.
I mean, go ham, cousin. Do you?
Yeah. And maybe it's good to keep that on hand from time to time for rituals. Whatever works for you. Anyway. So at this point, we're kind of reaching the end. It's going to get very exciting because the priest at this point, who is L. Ron Hubbard, will work the 2 subjects who are laying on the altar if there is room, or laying within the circle if the altar is too small. The high priest will work the 2 into a sexual frenzy while continuing to chant, wave the talismans, and eventually he will also begin to masturbate with intent once the 2 subjects begin to actually fuck. So,
wave thine talisman.
Yeah, and so this is really quite a lot to envision, but the wishing upon an orgasm happens here again. All 3 of them are going to do that, and they're going to do their best to sync up the coming, but, you know, that's tough to do, so you all do your best. And this is how...
Do thine best.
Oh, and also I just have to throw in that at this point, L. Ron Hubbard is frantically chanting as he approaches climax. Her mouth is red and her breasts are fair and her loins are full of fire. And I just had to really share that because I really enjoyed it.
I mean, how could you not share that?
And so this concludes the Moonchild ritual, and repeat as necessary until conception. Marjorie did become pregnant at this time, and then, you know, she didn't see that pregnancy through. But who knows? Maybe some of this had something to do with the impregnation. We can't know. But what I do think is interesting is like Marjorie not knowing that this is that she was going to birth the moon child when she was present for some of these rituals. But then I'm like, maybe she just thought they were having an orgy. And these guys are like super into like magic.
I don't
magic
know why
play.
You would assume you were conceiving the Antichrist if someone hadn't told you that that was what you were doing. I would have just thought, man, these guys are into some kinky shit.
Yeah, and this guy's just like yelling about my physical appearance while he masturbates to me and my boyfriend having sex. That was her experience of it, I think.
I mean, like, go off.
Yeah. But yeah, so play responsibly, please. But I don't know. This could be fun for you, your partner, and a friend. I don't know what you're into. It's not, that's not for everyone, but it could
be a fun
Halloween
thing.
Listen, we're
not here to tell you
thing.
What to do or how to do it, but we have just laid out some instructions.
We're
for
just here to provide some information if you were curious about it. Yeah. The evangelicals have been running America for quite some time, and maybe it's time to flip that over.
Maybe it's time to shake things up, okay?
Yeah, I don't know. But any questions about that? I know that was a lot, and it's all very vague, but that is the ritual.
My questions are, dear listeners, when are you doing this? Can we know about it? Will there be a Zoom?
Absolutely. Oh my God. We'll chant along with you or like whatever. And it doesn't have to be for the
moon
child.
Yeah, tell me your mantra. I mean, you can just send me your mantra and the appropriate time slots in which I need to be yelling it. And I'd do it.
That's a good idea.
I'd do it.
Yeah. Anyway, so happy Spooktober. And
happy Spooktober. Happy Fupdate. You can send us those time slots and your Antichrist chants on the internet. Via email at whyareyoulikethispod@gmail.com, on Instagram at whyareyoulikethispod, and on Twitter at WAYLT tweets.
And lastly, just have to say that Spotify has a new feature that you can finally rate podcasts. So if you like us and you listen on Spotify, you could just tap. It won't ask you to write anything. It's just a tap, tap on the stars. And that's all.
Tap, tap those stars. Look at that. Look at that. Maybe your sexual ritual is just rating this podcast. Okay.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. Anyway, go have fun, Peggy.
Maybe rate this podcast while you masturbate.
And then tell us about it. Yeah.
We've said it before. And we'll say it again. Pairs well with finger blasting. Okay.
Good night.
Bye.